This is a place where real masculinity is painfully learned, deeply celebrated, and aggressively deployed. We are committed to training you how to fight the war against all that is fighting you. This is the Dangerous Man Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dangerous Man Podcast. This is Matt. I'm here with my brother in Christ, Rory Lawrence. Rory, say what's up to the gentleman listening.
What's up, gentlemen?
We are stepping into part three of getting our home in order. Again, if you have not listened to part one and two, I encourage you strongly to go back and listen to those. Part one, prepping the plan. Part two is ordering the chaos, getting everything in order, your money, marriage, and monsters, which includes everything else. I am going to give a quick shout out to the recent members of the DM Army, Dennis Leary. Welcome to the DM Army.
Shout out, Dennis.
Connor Flanagan, Jim McHugh from our own church here at Legacy.
What's up, Jim? Connor, I love the name.
And Mike Nudd.
Welcome,
Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining the DM Army. Jump in anytime. Start a conversation. Continue on a conversation that's already in there. I know, guys and talking. Oh, that's difficult. But I tell you what, there is much wisdom in the council of many. And there is about 65 members and growing strong. And so, gentlemen, get in there, get talking, share with one another, talk, share your struggles, share your strengths, share your wins. Let's just have a conversation and learn from each other.
Today we're going into part three, and it is going to be about getting shit done. So you
getting
got everything
done.
You got your plan. You ordered your chaos, and now it's time to execute and get your stuff done. So we we'll get into that, and then in the back half of this episode, we started a chat with our Dangerous Man group. Sending in some questions. So again, if you're not part of that Dangerous Man podcast group on Facebook, this is an opportunity for you to send in questions and connect with Rory and I and be a part of this podcast. So your questions that you sent in, you'll be hearing them later on.
Yeah, we're going to go through the ordering of the home. This is the last part in the installment of these. It's a three-part series. And basically, the first week we talked about how we need to prep for the plan. We got to be completely sick of the way things are in our life, and we actually have to be tired of it to do something about it. Week two, ordering the home, part two, we talked about how to order the chaos. We talked about organizing your money, organizing your marriage, and organizing your monsters, all the different things that you have to manage. And again, guys, listen, Matt and I don't have this all figured out, but hopefully one thing that we're doing or that we're trying new, which, by the way, we're trying to quite a few new things, but hopefully one of those things helps you or inspires you or triggers you to do something about it. Because I'll tell you what, most of the men that I know that are struggling and stressed, most of that stress is not coming from outside circumstances. It's coming from inside the home. And so this whole series came not because I have all the answers on how to run your home, not because Matt has all the answers how to run your home. It came because we realized there's a lot of guys out there just like us that haven't been taught or haven't figured this out yet. And so we're trying new things and we're trying to get to a level of success to minimize the stress at home. Your home should be a sanctuary. And if you want it to be a sanctuary, what do you got to do, Matt? You got to what?
Got to prep it, plan it.
Got to prep it, plan it, and get it done. Absolutely. And so why don't you read Proverbs 16, 1 through 9. We're going to read this. And this is why I think men, that not only should we order the home to minimize stress and increase success, but we should have an order of our home because God's actually commanded us to be the overseers in our homes, to be the leaders in our homes, and to be the ones who are ordering the chaos. And so Why don't we do that? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 through 9. Matt, you already got that pulled up? Bam. All right, why don't you hit him with that?
Starting in verse 1, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and unfaithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And in the episode we're going into today, verse 9 really stands out to us in the fact that, you know, in our hearts we have a vision for our life that we want to accomplish, and we plan all these things out and we take action to them. But ultimately, the Lord is your process. You look to him to get you through the process, and he has a bigger and even greater plan for you. And if you would only submit to that and, you know, humble yourself to accept that plan, and ultimately he can bring you to a great point. And I just wanted you to kind of touch upon, since we just went through the Easter resurrection season of Easter, just how, you know, Jesus was brought through that, and how he could have said, you know what, nah, I'm good. I'm going to take myself down off this cross. I don't want to go through all the beating and all that.
No. I don't want to pay this price. I don't want to execute on the plan that the Father had willed from the beginning. You know, I know some of you guys listen to the podcast, you know, you may not be believers, and I know most of you are, some of you aren't. I'm glad that half of you people aren't, because there's so much wisdom that we share and that we can all learn from each other, regardless of what we believe. But for me, obviously, I'm a pastor, man, I tell you, it's 40 years of following Jesus, and I ain't never regretted a single year. I got a ton of other regrets, but following Jesus ain't been one of them. And the reason why, I think, because, you know, you talk about the story of Easter, so you have Jesus who is executing the plan and the will of the Father, and even gets to a point in his earthly ministry where his humanity is totally revealed to everyone, where, you know, there's a scripture where he talks about how, God, if this hour can pass from me, please let it. And what's happening there, guys, just if you've never heard that before, is he's talking about right before he's about to be given unto the hands of his betrayers and sold out to the religious elite Pharisees, who are about to take him into the process of basically being arrested and thrown in jail, being brought to Pontius Pilate and all that different stuff like that, and being brought to judgment. And then the crowd, which is the people, condemning him to crucifixion. So then the crucifixion is looming over his head, and he's asking God, he's saying, like, God, can you please, if possible, let this pass? But then the next sentence is the most beautiful thing ever, is you have the Son of God, fully man, fully God, submitting to the will of the Father, even though he doesn't know necessarily how all the things are going to plan out. He says, not my will, but thine be done. And so there's this plan that Jesus knows is needing to play out. And it goes the same for each one of us. Now, if hopefully you haven't tuned out, if you're not a believer right now, still listen, there's wisdom in this. I want you to hear this, man. Okay, so he knows dad's got a plan, dad knows better, and dad has wisdom that he's thought this thing through. And so I'm going to trust the plan, and I'm going to get it done. And I think this is what we can learn as men is, you know, God literally is telling us in scripture that you pick the plan. That's your choice. So everybody talks about, like, oh, you know, Christianity is a book of rules, everything you have to follow and you got to do everything. And God's literally telling, yes, like, those are guidelines. Those aren't rules, by the way. But those guidelines are there to help us, to avoid us, to guide us, to give us wisdom. And so there's literally God telling us,
You pick the plan and I'll guide you through it. You pick the plan and I'll guide you through it. And so for us as men, we are to be leading in our homes. We are to be leading the way. And some of you I know, you're like, man, my wife, my wife's pretty domineering and she really takes charge and she wants to do it all. And I didn't say you're the end all be all of the home, because again, every married man, you've got to learn to work with your wife because she brings things to the table that you don't, right?
Yep.
Yes. True story, ain't it, Matt? Becca's got skills that you don't, and you have skills that Becca doesn't. And same goes for me. I have skills that Jenny doesn't, and Jenny has skills that I do not. And so we've got to learn to work together, but at the end result is we need to get crap done. We need to get it done, because if we have a plan and we don't work our plan, it's an absolute failure. There's no point at all.
And sometimes when you're going to start the plan, there may be that fear of, you know, kind of the unknown and where you're trying to take it. So you may have a tough time launching your plan, and also others may have a tough time finishing that plan. So with you and your wife, you got to figure out who's going to be that person that's going to end up, you know, you're both going to be working together on this, but you got to lean on each other to get each other through the plan that you're trying to, you know, make. Because when you're launching the plan originally, you know, you always have the idea man. I would call you, Rory, the idea man on this podcast, right?
I have lots of ideas. Sometimes too many ideas.
For me, launching and starting this process, you know,
go ahead.
Podcast, you know, isn't something for me, but to help you and myself get through it and finish the podcast, that's definitely something that I can add value to. So it's just
something
it's
give that and you take, do and, yeah. add value to.
And it's give and take again with your plan that you're trying to do in your home. So I think another thing too that we touched upon in episode 2 that was really big was having the discipline and having the information. So in order to be successful in both, you have to have discipline and all
the tools. Having the tools
and all the information.
But you can have all the discipline in the world and all the tools in the world, but if you don't do anything with them, it's useless. It's absolutely useless. It comes down to us, again, having to say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep pushing through. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to get started. And once I get started, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that. And I'm going to train to do better. And I'm going to train to, you know, to grow in these areas. And I'm going to train, you know, to continue to increase the plan of ordering my home to be successful. Because at the end of the day, I think, you know, we can get caught up in the like, oh, well, it's easy to make a plan. You know, I'd love to make a plan on I want to make more money or I want to have a better job in, you know, in a year from now and stuff like that. Like wants are like you hear people say that all the time. I want or I wish. And it's like we waste our time saying that all the time. I know I've wasted a ton of time saying, oh, man, I wish I could be doing that. And really, the only difference between me getting to a point where I'm doing the thing that I want to be doing is me just starting it. Just start something, anything. Yeah. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be the finished product. Like, holy crap, don't wait around until you have it perfected. Yeah. Just get it started.
And we were talking about that before the episode about the frog book. What's it called? That we were talking about?
Eat That Frog.
Yeah. Eat That Frog. And I haven't read it. You basically touched upon it. Basically, you eat the frog in the morning because you don't want to do it. That's the one thing you don't want to do to get your day going. And that's the thing with the plan and purpose and execution of everything is you might not want to do it, but in order to get better, you're going to have to do it. So
most of the time, you don't want to do it. So the book you were talking about, it's a book by Brian Tracy. It's called Eat That Frog. And it's got like, I think like 20 something practical tips to avoid procrastination, blah, blah, blah. It's not like a self-help guru book. It's literal, tangible things that you can do to just, you know, when you, if you start your day with the biggest, hardest task, it rolls downhill. So if you're starting with the worst thing that you do, because typically what do? That's going to the end of the day. That task, whatever it is, the thing that I don't want to do or that I'm least interested.
What's one of the worst things that you had to do this week that you were like putting off and you're like, or maybe that you started with first?
How about one thing that I'm probably actively putting off right sure. now?
Go ahead.
My ankle. Taking care of my ankle.
Getting it checked. Well, you said you already got checked out.
What? No, I didn't get it checked out. Nope. I checked it out. And I know what a sprained ankle looks like. I've done it about 3 or 4 times to both ankles. I grew up skateboarding and snowboarding, so I know what a sprained ankle looks like. I rolled, for those of you who don't know, the Saturday before Easter, I rolled my ankle pretty darn good, and it's pretty sprained, pretty black and blue. It's pretty nasty. But then I got up Easter morning, preached through 2 services. I just wrapped it up, shoved it in my boot, and went on my way. And we were at church for most of the day, and then I left church. I went to first family gathering, was lunch, and then I went to a second family gathering, was like lunch number 2. And I didn't get home till I think probably about 7:30 or whatever. And when I finally took my boot off, I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Like, that ankle is 4 times the size of the other one, and it's dark purple. So, yeah, I have a problem taking care of myself. I put it off typically because I'm like, oh, well, I have other stuff to do, you know? And so I do kind of, it's part of the reason why I married a nurse, because I was like, I don't know how to take care of myself. For those of you who don't know, my wife, Jenny, she's an RN and she's amazing. But yeah, I don't know how to take care of myself physically. So yeah, I busted my ankle and I don't. I'm supposed to, we have a really amazing person in our church who does like chiropractic care and different stuff like that. And she was like, you need to come in and see me right away. And I'm like, I know. And now I'm like, I'll find the time somewhere. Actually, I need to make the time. I won't find it. I'm actively procrastinating on that currently right now.
You got to take care of yourself, bro.
I just don't want to.
Break your back before anyone else's.
Dude, so. Seriously. But
that's part of your character. And
we put stuff off that we don't want to do, and we push it all the way. So that book, Eat the Frog, it's teaching you these practical steps that you can do that trains your mind. You know, they say it takes about 28 days to form a new habit. So it's training your mind daily on a daily basis for about a month. If you can get to a month of effective daily repetition, then you'll most likely form that new habit. Then it's an easier time after that to maintain the habit. And for us, like, getting things done is taking care of the things you don't want to do first. Because the things you want to do, those are quick and easy. You're good at those. Most likely you're good at those, or you enjoy it. So if you get the big hairy thing out of the way first, get the frog out of the way first. Get the frog out of the way first. Frog you, buddy. You got to get the frog out of the way. And once you do that, it all rolls downhill from there. It creates momentum to your day for getting stuff done. And so when it comes to ordering your home, you know, we talked about all the discipline, the tools, the money, the marriage, and the monsters last episode. So now we're just trying to give you a kick in the seat of the pants to get it done. Get it done.
Yeah.
Sit down. Like my wife and I, 2 months ago, I think, when we started all this stuff. Actually, we started a month before because we wanted to get a little head up before we started talking about the content. But so we sat down and we chucked everything in the garbage, and we sat down and we were like, all right, what apps are we using? What calendars are we using? What methods are we going to use? What are the tools that we're going to use? And then how are we going to use those effectively that communicates to all family members? Which one needs to be between me and her? And then which one needs to go to the kids? Like I said, we got that big calendar we put in the fridge, and all of our stuff is on that calendar, and we put it up every month. Right, it's a dry erase calendar. We put everything in there. Excuse me. And we have that. The meal prep, we're kind of slacking on the meal prep right now. I wish we were doing better. But basically for the meal prep stuff, all we're trying to do is plan out 1 week of meals ahead before the week. So Sunday afternoon, we get home from church. We kind of chill out for a little while. And then once we, you know, start packing up lunches for the coming week, while we're doing the lunches, we're doing meal planning. And so we're saying, hey, Monday, and we're not even like really getting into it. We're like, hey, Monday's tacos, which that's like every Monday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, tacos. Wednesday.
Tacos, burritos, tostitos, empanadas, let's go. But we're just keeping it general. So, like, you know, Monday is, like, you know, Mexican. And then Tuesday is probably Italian food, maybe some pasta. Thursday, just meat. Burgers, this, pot roast, meatloaf, whatever. Doesn't matter. So we're trying to keep it general. But just something to where, because I don't know about you, but if we go home and this is what happens. We'll get home, the kids get home, and it's like they have their routine. And then it's like, all right, what's for dinner? And that's where, like, all hell breaks loose. It's like, well, I don't know. Well, who's cooking? I don't know. What do you want? And then starts, like, a 20-minute conversation on, like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And now I have five orders from five people in my house. And I'm like, okay, like, what is this? Like, short order cook style? Like, Jenny doesn't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then some people aren't hungry, or so-and-so doesn't like this, but they want that. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, shoot me in the head, please. Like, I don't want to deal with this.
Fortunately, I don't have to deal with that yet because I don't have kids, but we have
not yet.
We have my family over and whatever, and we just cook bigger meals, put the list on the board. Hey, if you don't like it, well, sorry.
Too bad. You don't like it, too bad. Yeah, and that's kind of where we're getting better at is putting the meal prep on there. So then even when the kids come home, mm-hmm. they're not like, what's for dinner? Like, they don't say a word. They look at the fridge. For the weeks that we've been doing it, we missed the last week, but for the weeks we've been doing it, they look at the fridge and they're like, okay. And then for our picky eaters, because I don't know if for any of you gentlemen listening, do you have a kid, a son or a daughter that's a wicked picky eater? For our picky eaters, what we say is, like, if you don't like what's for dinner, you make your own. That's it. Then, and it's, you know what's awesome, guys, about this is they look at the fridge and they're like, ah, I don't like that. So then when dinner time comes and we're prepping, the kid, which it's usually the same offender every time, Cohen, he comes out and he makes his own dinner and he puts it on the table. Then he goes back in his room and he waits. And then when dinner starts, his dinner's right there. He makes his own. And the days that he likes it, he's like, cool, don't have to make it. But it takes the fuss out of dinner time when you get home, because that can be just an annoying time of disorder and chaos. And it's something so simple, just ordering that thing. And so, but you have to, again, discipline, getting it done, putting it on the fridge, putting it in the calendar. There's so many different apps that you can get now that it just makes it very, very easy. But I would just encourage you, men, be consistent, because God can do a lot. You can do a lot. Your family can do a whole lot with your consistency. And just constant doing the little things and doing them big. You don't need some big, like, oh, I got this giant year-long plan. Man, knock a month out. Give me 30 days, you know? Bring your wife a 30-day plan for the family that includes meal prep, includes budgeting, includes all that, and get her involved with yourself, you know? And if you're newly married, this is a perfect time to start this habit. Don't wait 7 years like I did to get under the gun and get it done, you know? Get it done now, man.
I know. Luckily, I married someone who has a little bit of OCD, so she's always on top of these things. I'm usually the one that's trying to pick up the slack, but.
You got to bring what you bring to the table, dude.
Yeah. So I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, the role that your character can bring into planning, because through the planning process, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to go into days where, again, like we talked about, you don't want to do it. You don't want to, you know, eat the frog in the morning. But ultimately, that's going to be a big character build for you. Going through those tough days where you don't have, you know, all the answers, all the things going for you, I guess you could say. But at the end of the day, your character is what's going to help bring you through this, and God's going to help bring you through the process of all this. And ultimately, you're going to break down barriers in your life and then bring others along with you and rebuild something in your life that, you know, may have gotten lost from you or, you know, just bringing it back to the surface and then ultimately conquering everything in order to get your home in order. And that's where the foundation starts. And we look to the, you know, the last episode where we had talked about the Nashville shooter, and ultimately where that comes from is, you know, that individual that decided to do that. You know, a lot, if not all of those people that choose to, you know, make that act and take a gun and go to shoot somebody, you know, whether it doesn't matter what, you know, what race, what gender they identify as, it doesn't matter. But ultimately, they're broken. Their home's broken. And that's why these episodes are so important to get your home in order, because
it have a plan and get it done, dude.
It prevents a lot of those things.
And I would strongly encourage, and listen, I know some of y'all might make fun of me about this, but having a plan and getting it done also goes as far as, like, do you have a plan if, you know, if life happens? What's your plan? What's your plan if, you know, what's your plan if your bank account gets shut down? What's your plan if your state gets hit with a horrible storm and you're out of power for 7 days and you have 3 children? What's your plan? What's your plan if, God forbid, what's your plan if somebody comes knocking at your door and they want to steal all your stuff? What's your plan to defend yourself? What's your plan to make sure that your family, regardless of circumstances, is going to be provided for? Like, this killed me in the last last 4 or 5 years. I would say this has been seriously, seriously heavy on me, is just making sure, like, just come on, man. Like, you've got to have this together, because your family is not thinking. I guarantee you this, man. Unless your wife, if you're married, unless your wife is a total different beast from the backwoods of New Hampshire, maybe backwoods of Vermont. I'll give you backwoods of Maine. And then any of the middle, what do they call that? The Midwest. Mm. If your wife is from the Midwest, she probably can rock this stuff. Or from Texas. But your family is probably not thinking, like, hey, what are we going to do if we can't go to a grocery store for 30 days?
Which happened.
Yeah, that was weird. Schmandemic. What was it? Sounds like schmandemic. Rhymes with pandemic. Happened to people. That was real. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened? Everybody freaked out over freaking poop tickets.
Yeah,
like, everyone's like, what am I gonna wipe my butt with? And it's like, wait, you didn't have an extra, just one extra.
You go to the store twice a week to get some TP.
Like, dude, I go to the store once a month to get toilet paper. Once a month, that's it. And I'm in rotation now, so if I stop for 1, 2, 3, 4. I can stop for 4 months and be fine. I got plenty of poop tickets to cover everybody's butt. I tell my family, I got your butt covered all the time, literally. But seriously, like, what is your plan and how are you going to get it done? And, you know, I know we were talking about ordering the home, but this also goes in the home. How are you defending the home? How are you protecting the home? Do you have cash stored up? And some of you might be like, oh my gosh, he's freaking out. Prepper. No, relax. Not prepper, smart.
Not smart. Not a fear campaign.
No, I could care less what the fear, like, the news is always going to stoke your fear, and it's only going to get worse with the introduction of wonderful ChatGPT and AI technology and deepfake and all this other stuff. Like, it's only going to get so much worse, and they're going to find things that you're afraid of, and they're going to run that. This is what happens. This is what the world, this is what the devil does. If he can keep you afraid, he can keep you in control. When you have a plan, you're not afraid. When you're doing your plan, you don't give a crap what the world is doing. Like, I'm not even playing. People are like, oh my gosh, I can't have a plan to, you know, get land or do this or do that because I don't know what the economy, who cares what the economy is doing? Make your plan, get it done. You don't think that God is more creative than you ever know, and he will guide your plan through what the world is doing. God is not surprised by what the world is doing. He's not surprised by the economy. He is definitely not surprised by, like, Klaus Schwab and all the
crazy elite retards who are trying to ruin this world. God's not surprised by them, and God will work around them. Men, just get it done. Get your plan on paper. Get your wife on the plan. Get your family on the plan, and just get it done. I promise you, continue to do the little things to getting your plan and do them big, and you're going to see success in your family. Dude, just in 2 months alone, my stress levels have gone down so far that, like, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, why am I not stressed? This doesn't make it it's uncomfortable that I'm not stressed because I'm not used to it, because I'm ordering things that didn't have order before. And man, I'll tell you what, the absolute ease of sleep and the ease of comfort knowing if this happens, this is what happens in our home. If this goes on, this is what's going on. Hey, it's Monday. What are we having? Boom, it's on the board. Hey, Friday evening, we're going to the DM Fire down in Salem. That's on the board. Like, so when my wife needs a schedule or my kids are looking for something, they're like, oh, that's going to be gone, so we can't do it on that night. And so we moved game night to another night so we can goof off and play together. Like, this is the kind of stuff that the plan and working the plan and getting the plan done creates confidence and security. It really does. It really does. And it's worth every bit of effort that you can give it, man. Every bit of effort. Be consistent, be relentless, and lead the way.
Yes, sir. We'll go read one more quick scripture, and then we'll send you guys out of here. So Proverbs 14:23. Says work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. That's what we're doing here, men. We're putting in the work. We're putting in the effort and the training to change, to make ourselves better. We're done with the old ways of last minute throwing poop against a wall, hoping it sticks.
Is that going to stick? Oh, it'll stick, but it's still poop. All right, sure.
We're leading ourselves to success and growing and developing, and Lord's going to put more on us as men to take on more responsibilities because we have ordered the things that we've been given, and now it's time for some more because that's just how it's going to keep happening.
That's right.
That's good. You want to pray us out?
Yes, sir. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for these men. I thank you for everyone listening. I pray, Jesus, God, that you would breathe into their lives strength, confidence, power, and God, the ability to know that if we don't know how to do it, we can ask somebody else. We can ask you. We can find the answer. It's one thing we're good at is we can figure it out. And especially with you. And so, Father, I pray you give them confidence, you give them strength, give them the authority to take control and to lead in their homes and to lead well with their families, God. And I pray, Father, that they would continue to be consistent and doing the little things big and being consistent, being relentless, and leading as you have called them to lead. I pray all these things over each and every man in Jesus' most dangerous name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Dangerous Man Podcast. I want to invite you to join us in this journey. Take a moment, go to your podcast app, and leave a review for the show. Give us some feedback on what you love about it and maybe some ideas on how we can continue to improve and provide great content for you men so that you can continue to stop trying and start training to be the man that you were designed to be. We believe that every man has a story, and we want to elevate the everyday hero. So shoot us an email at thedangerousmanpodcast@gmail.com and tell us your story. We're going to pick through the emails, and out of those, we're going to pull out guests for specific episodes in the future. Again, thank you for joining us on the Dangerous Man Podcast.